The last Bible study we had together, I spoke of a number of lessons, all centered in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ into this world. We spoke of a number of lessons, some that you wouldn't associate with what we call the Christmas story, and others you would. We spoke of the lesson of doing the job of work we have to do properly. It was those shepherds who were keeping their flocks by night, watching over them, to whom the Lord came. And we saw in Scripture how God again and again, great points in history, have turned upon someone doing their job properly without any idea that God was going to visit them. Moses keeping the sheep, David out looking after the flocks, Gideon threshing wheat under enemy threat, and many other things. We spoke of being led of God out of all, as another great lesson, out of all the multitudes in the East, there were just that little group, tradition tells us three, but the Bible doesn't, that little group of wise men who had seen something and were led unfailingly to Christ, to a discovery of God's King and Savior. And we thought again of this great lesson that God is leading you and I wants to unfailingly. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, not just children, babes, but they are grown up. There's some measure of maturity. And out of all the others, there must have been other believers, others who were waiting for the Messiah, but God wasn't able to get through to them. But this group of wise men, somehow or other, God got through to them. There was some spiritual maturity. Anyway, there's a lesson there for us. And another lesson was discovering Christ. I think that's one of the greatest lessons, perhaps at this time, the discovering of Christ. And we thought of the shepherds, they discovered. We thought of the wise men, they discovered him. We thought of Simeon and Anna, they discovered him. And then we looked at his names, how we discover Jesus, the unsearchable riches of Christ, Emmanuel. How few people know the depths, if anything, of that discovery. God with us. There's a man. Throne of God, a man in the throne of God at God's right hand, the discovery of Emmanuel, all the time, forever. It was not without reason that when John Wesley lay dying, his last words as he gathered strength was, the best of all is God with us, Emmanuel. And of course, there are others, wonderful counselor. How few Christians have discovered the Lord Jesus as wonderful counselor. Ready to counsel us in every way, uniquely, singularly. Ready to just counsel us. All our problems go back to the fact that we're not prepared to wait, or we're not prepared to listen. We're not prepared to give time. Wonderful counselor, mighty God. Nothing shall be impossible with God. You discovered the Lord Jesus. That all things are possible with him and through him. The Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things through Christ who strengthens me. Mighty God, everlasting Father, perhaps the supreme revelation, not of a great creator, not of an omnipotent God, not even as the one who rules all things, who can do all things, but as everlasting Father, eternal. That's a wonderful thing, the thing the Holy Spirit cries out in our hearts, Abba, Father, discovery of Christ, Prince of Peace. Oh, there was so much we could say about that lesson. And then, of course, two more lessons we just very briefly dwelt upon, light overcoming darkness. And this is perhaps overlooked. I pointed out that some people like to tell us that Christmas is, after all, a pagan festival, and that the Christians, rather ignorantly, with other motives in mind, took over the festival and and sort of infer, sort of conferred upon it some sort of Christian ideas. But they were not so silly as we tend to think. The early church knew very well the difference between paganism and the gospel. They also knew that a large number of people did not read or write. And when finally they came to it, they knew the Lord was born somewhere in the winter, from December the 4th to somewhere like February the 4th. Between that region, they knew, they didn't know when. And so they decided to take this festival of light, the old Roman festival of light, the darkest day, the shortest day, and the darkest day of the year, the 21st of December. Only with the visible eye can you measure the fact that light is overcoming darkness on the 24th and 25th. That's the first day you can see for a day getting longer. And so they said, upon that day, we will celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. I, for one, believe there's something in it. Light overcoming darkness. What a message. In this world in which we see darkness on all sides, and don't forget, the night cometh when no man can work. It's yet to come, the time of Jacob's trouble, the night when no man can work. What a message we Christians have got. That even though the night is coming, day is going to overcome the night. And light is going to overcome darkness. And of course we took John chapter 1 and we thought of, in him was the life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness overcame it not. What a conflict there's been all the way through between light and darkness. But thank God, this is the message we have received from him and announce unto you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And that light is going to win. Light overcoming darkness. Oh, we looked at lots of scriptures, including that marvelous chapter that Ron read, Isaiah 60. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Now, if you take this thought and go through scripture, you will be thrilled. For again and again, you'll find these wonderful prophecies about no longer there being a sun, but the glory of God lightening everything. It's light, light, light. All the time it's light. That godly old man, Simeon, said of Jesus Christ, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people, Israel. And then we thought again of a fifth lesson, the word becoming flesh, and dwelling among us, all the amazing wonder of it. And then we learnt from that lesson, although of course with Christ, naturally it's unique, and we must underline and emphasize that. Nevertheless, there is a lesson here. God wants the word to become flesh in us. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In order, he wants it to get into us and become flesh and blood. I say, well, what a lesson we've got from this time. That God wants the word to walk about. He wants the word to, as it were, look through human eyes. He wants the word to feel through human hands and fingers. He wants the word to be carried about with human on human legs. He wants a human heart to express his word. What a wonderful message that, what a wonderful lesson that is for us, to think God doesn't just want us to have our heads stuffed with theories or even good doctrine, important as that is. He wants it to get into us so that it will not just use us and or visit us, or bless us, but dwell in us. Well, now, there's just, I think we'll only have time for another lesson. Maybe we'll just touch on another, I don't know. But here is another one, a great lesson from this time. Learning to live in difficult circumstances. Learning to live in difficult circumstances. Philippians chapter 2. And you know, I hardly dare talk about this because God has a habit of seeing that it's in experience. Either you speak out of experience. Watchman Nee once said, there are only two ways that you can preach the word of God. Either you preach something that's not yet your experience, and immediately you preached it, God says, right, and it becomes your experience. Or you have the experience and preach out of it. But one way or another, when it's living, always God does it. Now here we have in this Philippians 2, verse 5, have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, existing or being in the form of God, counted not the being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient, even unto death, yea, the death of the cross, learning to live in difficult circumstances. Now, maybe that almost seems trite when we've read those words. But what a lesson there is for everyone. I suppose one of our greatest problems as Christians is murmuring. Oh, well, I'm one of the worst. If I'm not murmuring at others, I'm murmuring to myself. You know, everything, oh, this or that, or why did this have to happen, or why that, or why can't that? We're all the same. And of course, quite honestly, we all look at each other and we think, well, it would be nice to be so-and-so. And so-and-so's thinking, how nice it would be to be so-and-so. All looking at one another and just thinking, I wish I had so-and-so's circumstances or situation. Learning to live in difficult circumstances. Have you ever thought that God himself, who created all things, through whom all things that we see have been made, that God, who has created not only the things that we see but all things that we don't see, things visible and things invisible, this God reduced himself to human circumstances. Now, he could have chosen, considering the tremendous disparity between heaven's glory and wealth and ease, if you like, in one sense, and earth's poverty and sin and darkness, he could have at least made it easier by coming into some great palace, or coming into some order of things that would have made it just that little bit easier, would have given him a start in life, would have given him a name, would have given him a position, would have given him a kind of a well-known pedigree. Well, he had a pedigree, the best of all, but it wasn't thought much of at that time. Now, if he'd been born into the high priestly family, Caiaphas or Annas's family, or one of those great ruling families of Jewry, it would have perhaps made it easier for him. He would have had connections. He would have had a start in life. But no, he came into an unknown home and for 30 years lived a very simple peasant type of life. Not quite. Some people say, really, the poorest of the poor. This isn't quite true. The Lord Jesus came into what we would now call a kind of lower middle class home. The artisan class. Just that type of home. But it knew all the problems and all the difficulties. Think of it. God, as we sometimes sing, God contracted to a human span. That's difficult circumstances. God himself took a leap, as it were, in the dark and confined himself to a baby. Now, God being God could have done all things. Yet there he was, as it were, in the mystery of his person, man and yet God, in the arms of a woman, dependent on a woman for feeding. Dependent on parents for security, dependent upon human beings. So, as we sing again and again in these carols, so mild, so gentle, so defenseless. It's an interesting fact, isn't it, that God warned them to get out of the way of Herod. After all, God himself could have thrown Herod back in disarray. That's how defenseless Jesus was. The angel said to Joseph and Mary, flee into Egypt and take the young child with you. Get him out of harm's way. It's a mystery, isn't it? It really is a mystery. And when we think of the whole life of Christ, if I know the devil at all, I think I know him a little. If I know him at all, then I am sure that that carpentry shop at times must have been hell. I think the devil moved into those circumstances. I'm sure they got some of the most difficult customers in the whole of Galilee. I am sure that the devil was absolutely out to think of it. If Jesus had only lost his temper in one point, if he had only failed in irritation in one point, the whole thing would have clashed. Don't you think that those hidden years were years of much activity, one way or another, in the unseen? I think so. I've often said I would love to have seen some of the things the Lord Jesus turned out, the kind of things he made. Now think of that when next you're at your job or thing. I mean, the Lord Jesus knows all about the grind of work, much more than you. His day started with sunrise and ended with sunset. I remember when we were in Egypt, when we used to have the meetings, we could never have them before sunset. We had to have them 1 hour after sunset because people worked from sunrise to sunset. I'm not talking about the soldiers, of course, I'm talking about the Egyptians. The soldiers certainly didn't. But the Egyptians, they were up at the crack of dawn. It's true, they had a sleep in midday for an hour or two, but they worked right through to the end of the day, till sunset. Now, those were difficult circumstances, and the Lord Jesus did that day after day, except for the Sabbath and for high days and holidays. He did it all the way through. No trade union hours. Nothing that was guarding the sort of this class of person from being exploited and all the rest of it. Oh, no. Difficult circumstances. Difficult circumstances. His ministry was filled with difficult circumstances. You would have thought when the Holy Spirit anointed him with power and he went forth to preach this gospel which has been given to us, you would have thought that he would have had a terrible time. You would have thought he perhaps would have had an easier time rather with the power of the Holy Spirit. But no, immediately it says, the Spirit drove him into the wilderness and there he met Satan. Straight away. All through his life it was difficult. People questioning his birth, questioning his authority, questioning his power, and all the rest of it, right the way through to the end. I think we see difficult circumstances in Gethsemane. If I may put it rather irreverently, it was as if the Lord Jesus was in a cleft stick. Torn on the one hand by the unknown, not by physical pain or suffering, but by the unknown weight of human sin, which he knew was going to come upon him. And the other, the will of God. And he did the will of God. What a lesson that is. I think that that is a lesson that every one of us can take to our hearts, learning to live in difficult circumstances, and Calvary, to allow the creatures he himself had created to nail his hands to the cross. Now, my point is this. The eternal life which is in me is none other than Jesus Christ himself. And if you're a child of God, that is true of you. Now, it has helped me inestimably. I will never be able to say just how much it has helped me when it dawned on me. One can talk to one's blue in the face about this matter, and it's just a nice little subject. But when it dawns on you, then I believe, when it comes by revelation, then I believe there's a change in one's whole attitude to one's circumstances and life. It's not that the enemy is no longer there. It's not that they are easier, not at all. They may be more difficult. But the fact is this, it is the same Lord Jesus who learnt to live in such difficult circumstances who's living in me. He's gone through the whole thing. So it's no good me saying, I can't do it, I can't do it. Of course I can't do it, but he can. He's done it.
I don't think there's a circumstance which I can face which is worse than he has already faced. And he is able to do it. Now, isn't that what he meant when he said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you? I always used to think that was the same kind of peace. He just said, peace I leave with you, my... No, I don't think so. The peace he leaves with us is the peace of sins forgiven. That's the heritage of the Lord. That's something he has done for us. Well, he never needed that. He had no sin in which he needed forgiveness. But his peace, my peace, that was the peace he knew as the sinless Son of God, who was able to go through Gethsemane and at the end of it say, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Who was able in the cross, when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, to say, into thy hands, Father, I commend my spirit. That peace. Now, I think that if we would allow, see this point that the Lord Jesus Christ is in us, and that the one who's learnt to live in such difficult circumstances in me, is there something in my life which I find a limitation? Now, there's the wrong kind of limitation, which is satanic bondage. But there are other kind of limitations which are there by the sovereign appointment of God, and no amount of deliverance ministry or anything else will shift them. They are there sovereignly by God. Now, if I have limitation in my life, or if I've got restriction of some kind or another, or I've got a problem or other, which somehow is not of my own making, but is there, what am I to do? What am I to do? Well, I can't face that kind of thing, nor can you. Living in reduced circumstances, more and more of us are finding out what that's like. Living in reduced circumstances with inflation all around. But you know, there's someone in us that can help us in all the trials and problems and difficulties of life to come through. There's another lesson out of so many. This time is just full of them. Learning to live in difficult circumstances. And what was the end? The end was glory. And what was the end? The end was eternal fruitfulness. What was the end of the increase of his government? There shall be no end. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. That's the end. And I've got that kind of life in me. Thank God for that. I often think that being sealed with the Spirit is rather like God making us into a cork. You cannot drown it. You can push it under, you can try and keep it under, but it'll always come up. It'll just somehow bubble up, and there it is bobbing on the top. A bit wet, but it's on the top. And that's how I think it is when we're sealed with the Spirit. When we know what it is for Christ to live in us, Christ liveth in me, then we become like spiritual cork. We can't be drowned. We can't be left at the bottom. We'll always come on top, no matter what happens. What a good lesson that is. One more little lesson out of a number of others I had listed. Maybe one of these days we'll get round to them or keep it for another year. I don't know. The Lord tarries for so many others. Let's praise him. And now, dear Lord, we commit ourselves to thee, and we pray that thou wilt help every one of us in the kind of circumstances and situations we face to trust thee. No one who trusts thee shall ever be put to shame. O Lord, thou knowest more than any one of us. Thou knowest what it is to come into really limited, restricted, difficult circumstances. May it dawn on us, Lord, and may we know the joy and the peace that there is in knowing thee. We ask it in thy name.